Hi there, this is Erin Nicole, and you're listening to the Move Happy Movement podcast. On this show, I interview people from all over the world. Sometimes I do spirit-led sermons from the divine. In our household, we worship the Holy Trinity, Father of all of us, His Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, conquering the grave so that we all can have a personal relationship directly with the Father and the Holy Spirit. They're all three in one. And sometimes I share music with you that is designed from our life mission focus to help empower you to find happiness from within. This is a mental health podcast to help you if you are struggling with depression, suicidal ideations, or maybe you're just going through a tough season and you are looking for some encouragement. I do this show on the go, so if you hear extraneous noises, it's because I'm running some errands to make sure that I get business handled. And the Lord loves it when His children honor their families. And He reminded me of today's a very special day. So the episode is, the sermon is titled Grandmother. So I want you to be thinking about your grandma. Maybe you have a couple of grandmas. Maybe you have four grandmas if you have like step-parents and you're blessed with a bunch of extras. Maybe you have some grandmas that aren't actual blood related or related from marriage, but maybe they helped raise you in the community. Maybe you came from the foster system and you had some great people that became like grandmothers to you. I came from what some would say is a traditional family, a mother and a father, and they were married for 40 years before my dad passed away, but they also didn't think that they could raise us by ourselves, so we were close to my dad's side of the family, so I was a lot closer naturally with my dad's side because of just proximity. But my mom was heavily into making friends with people and socializing, and so a lot of her friends and their mothers became extra grandmas to me. Today's a very special day. It's actually my mother's, maternal's mother, so my grandmother's birthday. She passed away quite a few years ago, but I wanted to share a little bit about my grandma and the journey of what I remember, and maybe this will tie in some of your story with what your grandma was like, and also help you to understand a little bit more of where I come from and my story. So grandma was from the Midwest. She came from her parents lived in the Midwest, and her dad was a farm doctor, my great grandfather. I didn't get to meet him. He passed away when I was, I think before I was born. And then my mom's stepdad, or no, that was her grandma. Never mind. I'm getting mixed up a little bit. So great grandpa was a farm doctor, and they had a bunch of kids, right? Because that was back then. That was how they did things on the farm, because the kids had roles. They wanted to have a big family so that the kids could help run the farms. And he would travel to the different farms and provide doctor's appointments to the farmers. He had high-level standards of excellence for all of his children. So every single one of them learned how to play the piano, and they each picked a different instrument. They got to self-select. They each had a different one, and he demanded, encouraged, whatever you want to call it. I think he was a World War I veteran, if I remember correctly. My great-grandmother had written, or Grandma Freisinger had written some memoirs about her great-grandparents and the family and whatnot, and my mom typed it out when I was a little one. I remember them typing it on the old Apple IIgs. And grandma was a ham. She was, if I'm remembering correctly, I think she was second youngest, but I could be wrong. I had to double check with my mom. It was very common for children to get sick with dysentery, which means that you have diarrhea nonstop, and they didn't have the cure for it in certain areas. Certain areas had the cure, certain areas did not. I think they were still experimenting with what it was caused by. And little babies, when they're growing, she was, I think, a toddler when she had it, it's not good to be pooping all the time, right? To have loose poop, that means that it's liquidy, because that means it's your body's getting dehydrated. And if your body's dehydrated, then the organs, the blood vessels aren't able to send the blood and pumps to the heart. And it's everything is interrelated, right? You can learn a lot about your health from your poop. And they couldn't figure out why she continued to have diarrhea. Now, I'm not sure how long she had it for, but after she survived it, the parents kind of favored her. So great-grandma and great-grandpa kind of favored her. So she got a lot of love and attention from them. She got extra, I think, a little bit of extra attention. And so that created a little bit of jealousy amongst the siblings, which is normal for a little bit of jealousy, right? Joseph was the favored one in his family in the Old Testament, and his brother sold him into slavery, so it wasn't that bad. But she was a ham. She was a performer. What I remember of Grandma, she would come in the summers. She would visit us. She would usually stay in July for a couple of weeks, and we'd go to her Catholic church. We would go to a different Catholic church. She just wanted to go to any Catholic church on Saturday and do Mass, and so we'd dip our fingers in the water and, you know, the center of the forehead, left shoulder, right shoulder, and listen to the ministers and whatnot. They had different terminologies for their spiritual leaders compared to what I grew up with. So I might not remember the names exactly, right? There's different kinds of Catholic churches as well. I remember one of them, she was getting a little bit heavier, some of her medications, I think, and just slowing down in her older age. She didn't like to wear dresses as much anymore. She liked to wear the elastic pants because it was easier for her to put on. Because I think her hands, you know, gripping and balance and all kinds of things. And she had glaucoma, so her vision was slowly disappearing. It's a non-curable disease so far in the world. They might release a cure in the next few years. Who knows? And We took her to the Roman Catholic Church, and they actually kicked us out because she didn't have a dress on. That was real strict back then. I think they've probably lightened up in the last few decades, especially after the pandemic when a bunch of churches lost the ability to have their church members. You know, things start changing when money starts getting impacted. So, but I liked learning about what she was interested in, because I was a mute kid, but I was a sponge. I was soaking up everything, and she was such a ham. She would do headstand contests with my oldest brother. I remember they'd lean against the wall, and this was, I think, she might have had glaucoma, but she wasn't taking as much of her eye drops and stuff back then. And I remember her describing standing up on top of tables and performing in cafeterias. She loved to get attention. She loved performing. And I think I have a lot of that within me. And even though I was a mute child because I was being abused from my oldest sibling in secret and private for four to 6 years, my memory's kind of hazy in the last couple of years towards my 8 and 9 year old version. I started standing up for myself then, but I didn't talk a lot because I was ashamed of what was being done to me in private. But I loved performing. I loved music. It was a huge healing agent. And Grandma, when she would come to visit, it was always lots of giggles, lots of entertainment. And she'd play the piano for us. I remember her playing, there was a tree song she would play, and a few other songs. Just gorgeous musical skills. And as she lost her eyesight, she played the violin as well for, like, I don't know, 80 years or something. She played for a long time. She played with these banjoliers. They call it the four banjoliers. And then she played her violin with them. And I didn't know this until after I joined Toastmasters, when I first had the calling from the Holy Spirit revealing my life purpose about Move Happy and helping people with depression in the world. I had joined Toastmasters local chapter. When I shared it with my mom, she said, "Oh, your grandma, Freisinger, was in the Toastmasters." I said, "Really?" She said, "Oh, yeah, she did that for many, many years. It's a great program. They got chapters all over the world." And what they do, if you're not familiar with what Toastmasters is, it's a public speaking organization. I think it's a nonprofit. And you can visit any of the chapters for free. And that a couple of times, well, some of them you can only visit once for free, but it's very structured. They've got textbooks. They help you to go from being uncomfortable speaking on stage to knowing exactly what you're going to talk about, so that you can, if you have a desire to get paid to speak at businesses or to get paid to speak at conferences, or you have a desire to get into ministry and become a preacher or a minister or a deacon or head up your own temple or whatnot, to get you confident, right? If you come from maybe a shy background and you're more introverted, but you have this desire in your heart to speak on stage, it's the number one fear that all people have. Number one fear is public speaking. And the second fear is death. People are more afraid to speak in front of people than they are afraid to die. So the Toastmasters is a great organization. Les Brown had talked a lot about it in his videos that I listened to online. And so I had joined one that I wasn't even supposed to be allowed into. But the Lord just shows me so much favor and bends rules in society for me. I'm so grateful. And Lizette was the lady that I spoke to that let me enter their special medical group, Toastmasters, a few years ago before I moved across the country. And when I did move, I told them that I was moving to help my family member adjust to single parent life and a fresh start for myself. After some domestic violence and my engagement had fallen through, my father had died, and it was going to be some healing for me to move. And I knew it was what the Lord wanted me to do. And she said, my sister owns her own gym down there. I said, really? She says, yeah, hook up with my sis. So we tried to, but I didn't have a car when I first moved across the country, so I was doing everything on Lyft and super tight budget. So we tried to connect a couple of times, but our schedules just didn't link up quite yet. But I'm believing maybe in the future I'll be able to say thank you to her, because she really helped to encourage me to keep sharing the mission. And all the ladies that were a part of that group, I don't remember there being any guys in it, but it was a bunch of nurses, RNs, teaching nurses that heard about Move Happy, and they loved that I was desiring to help people with mental health concerns and to help people with depression. There are specialties within the medical space for RNs to actually have a psychology specialty as an RN. So you could work directly with people with mental health diagnoses and do, you know, all the things that nurses do. They run the hospitals. They run the show. You know, the doctors get paid more, but the nurses are the ones that run the show. And they loved it. They loved the story of it. And had I known that Grandma was in it and a part of it, we weren't a huge talkative family when I was younger. I've had to be the one to get my mom to open up. And she's, the last couple years since Dad died, she's started to open up more about, I think she's received a lot of healing in a variety of ways. And she started to open up more to teach me about her side of the family. And I love both sides of my family. I love my grandmas, both sides. And today's would have been Grandma's birthday, Grandma Freisinger's. And she did the best that she could to raise five children. My mom was one of five and two stepchildren. She had a big family. And for a long time, she did it by herself because her first husband had, I think he died. I think that was my grandfather. I didn't get to meet him. Second was my step-grandfather. He died on my birthday when I was three, so I never got to meet any of my grandfathers on my mother's side. And there was a lot of hurts on my mom's side of the family around fathers, around grandfathers. But my mom married a good man. My dad was a great man. He wasn't perfect. She put up with a lot of BS. But I think her foundation of being a part of the church, the Catholic Church, and the high level standards of the family that she came from, the high musical standards that she came from, I think it attracted them to one another. When my mom decided to move to California to pursue music full time as an opera singer and whatnot, and then changed career paths to becoming a stay-at-home mom, and that was her decision to sacrifice her whole career path for us. And I think that's why the Lord is going to honor and bless our family, and has gifted me a lot of things, not because of my work alone, but because He loves to honor families that stay together, stick together. So I want to encourage you, if you've got grandparents that are still alive, reach out to them. Let them know how much you mean to them. Ask them questions. That's the only true way you can learn about your family history, is to ask them questions. And if they are alive today and they haven't shared their memoirs or their story of their life, ask them if they would like you to type it up and or there are some AI platforms that they can speak into that will auto transcribe it. They're not, 100% accurate, but some of them will auto transcribe up to a few, I think, thousand characters or words for free, and then it's just a small nominal fee after that. So you'd want to make sure you have, professional editors and whatnot, to make sure it's high standards, right? Because it's your family story. You want to make sure it's authentic. But if that's something that you desire to do, that could be keeping your history and your family alive for generations to come. If you have children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, and those are the kinds of things that keep our history alive, is of our nation, of America, and around the world. And there's a lot of people that are saying they're changing our history books, they're changing this, they're changing that. But if we have relationships, right, intergenerational relationships, where we spend time with the older people, if you're a younger person, or if you're an older person, you intentionally spend time with younger people, that's how we can keep our true history alive, no matter how many rich political people or powerful evil people want to change the history books. The truth can be passed down in your family. You could do that. You could be the one to do that. I'm grateful on my father's side that even though my dad was really depressed and was real reserved, I mean, we're talking major depression, he didn't get help for until his last couple years of life, but he did have a passion about his family. He was a very quiet guy. He spoke maybe 100 or 200 words to me in my whole lifetime. He passed when I was 30 years old. We're talking huge neglect because of his level of depression. But he was close. He wasn't always depressed before I was born. I think he was a happy, joyful person when he met my mom. And he was excellent at sales and whatnot. My mom believed he gave all his energy away to everybody outside the house. So he was so depleted when he got home because he probably wasn't in the right career path. But he was providing for us, right? So he loved his family, his cousins. And I started asking questions in my 20s about our family history because I was tired of cycling in my depressive episodes. I desired to have stronger foundations for where I came from. There was a lot of sermons I was listening to that encouraged me to do that. And just my own brain. And he set up a meeting. I was asking for my mom's side of the family, but my dad set it up to learn about his side of the family and the family crest and whatnot. And his cousin comes over to the house and he shared with us that we've got some inventors in our family. Eli Whitney was one of our ancestors who invented the cotton gin, and he believed that King David, who slayed Goliath, was a part of our history as well. He wasn't 100% confident on that one because as you get back thousands of years, name changes occur when people change and move from country to country, because racism will always exist no matter where you're at in life. You can't break away from it. We can try our best to create unity and whatnot, but those that speak about it, even when they're, doing peace conversations, they get shot in the head, right? Martin Luther King, right? He's famous for all of his peaceful tributes and peace walks and protests. And he was a minister, right? He was a preacher. And he was telling people to meet peaceably, but they still ended his life. So you got to be careful, you know, things like that. But just keep in mind that name changes occurred to keep people alive when they moved from country to country, because there was people that didn't like them coming in and taking over their land and their space, right? We got a lot of that going on right now in America. There's a lot of people that are just coming into America, and people are like, well, just let them in. What's the big deal? We did that hundreds of years ago. Well, the problem with that is that when you max space, then there's no jobs. Then the jobs are going to people that aren't legally here, that didn't follow the process and accountability, and somebody's got to pay for them if they get injured on our soil, right? And there's a lot of child abductions. Lot of child sex slavery abductions happen in America. It's the dark side that people don't like to talk about. And I know there's no grandmothers that would put up with that in America. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So we need to start tightening up our ships. What I encourage you to do if you're retired and you're listening to this is see if you can volunteer. If you've got transportation and you still drive, or you can ride a bus to a local school, ask them if you can volunteer, especially if you're a veteran. Oh, they love to hear. Kids love to hear. I remember so much enjoying hearing stories of real hero stories, right, of veterans that fought in wars. That's how I learned about true patriotism and true America pride, was through actual veterans that came and were substitute teachers in our school system and told us the truth. They said, this is the story we told the families when the people died. This is the story that actually happened. So I learned about BS at a very young age. And so encourage you, if you are an older person, you don't have to be a veteran, but if you desire to get connected with our younger population, see if you can volunteer and help out in the school, maybe in the library or in the classrooms, and let them know what your areas of skills are and that you would like to volunteer with the kiddos and why, right? They'll do a background check. They'll do, I think it's the law that they do a fingerprint check. You might have to pay for your fingerprints, or you might ask them, say, hey, I'm on Medicare, Medicaid, or whatever income. I'm on a tight income, but I'd like to volunteer. Could you help pay for my fingerprints? And I'll promise to volunteer 5 hours a week, whatever. That will help them to have more adults in the school. And if you do your background check and your fingerprint check, then you're another person, another adult that can help keep the kids safe, because there's a lot of abductions that are happening even at schools. On the recess playground, yeah, because people are max stressed out. And when you're stressed, you don't think clearly. You don't get proper sleep. You start forgetting things. And we want to make sure kids are protected, right? And grandmas, you could teach about whatever skills you desire to. Maybe you could do a baking lesson, right? You could do a very elementary level baking lesson and teach them some of your family recipes, right? I remember some of the substitutes. We had the Wright family, our DARE officer. I'm pretty sure it was his either mother or grandmother. She would come in and substitute when I was in sixth grade, my first year in public school. I have a very strong memory, I think, because I choose to be grateful, and I've chosen to love people and be kind as much as I can. Of course, there's bad days where I have a real bad mood because people have been ridiculous to me, and I am human. But I've got an incredible memory, and the Holy Spirit has healed my mind, even from memories that I thought I lost forever. So Mrs. Wright would come in, and she would share with us stories of her son. And he was our DARE officer. He was, I think a police officer. And she helped us to learn about different cultures, right? She talked a little bit slower. She was laid back. She didn't let nothing bother her. I imagine she went through some extreme levels of racism because she was a lady of color. And she was so kind and respectful to us. I remember positive memories of her. I learned about diversity because real people from real different backgrounds, skin colors, belief systems, lived in my neighborhood. It's people talk about diversity and inclusion, but unless you actually grow up in it, you could talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Grandmas come in all sizes, shapes, and forms. In high school, Mr. Krause formed such a strong legacy music program, the music company, but also the choir program. There was not everybody could be a part of the music company. There it was only 20 of us that were the elite that had to get invited to audition to it. And five girls in the soprano section, five girls in the alto section, and then, you know, and the guys, the tenors and the bass baritone. And the parents stepped up to volunteer because we were from a lower income area. Some of the parents could pay and write a check, but for the most part, I'd say probably 85 to 90% of the families would volunteer in Seattle every weekend for every sporting event for the Seattle Seahawks. Before the stadium was built, they played their games at University of Washington and Seattle Mariners Stadium. It used to be called Safeco Field. I think they got bought out a few times, so whatever it's called now. And the Sounders came out, I think, my senior year. Soccer team. What else? There was the Sonics, but they left, so I don't remember doing any games there. But we got to make friends, and I'd say build a family, a real community of parents and grandparents that would work to help my friends be able to go on our trips. We took a trip every year. Krause wanted us, Mr. C wanted us, to be able to learn about different cultures, different experiences. He wanted us to perform and be able to compete. We took first every time except for one time in 3 years, and we competed a lot. And had it not been for the grandmothers stepping up and volunteering their time, and the grandfathers, right? But it was mostly for the grandparents. It was grandmas that were working. Asian grandparents working. Last people to work. They were sweeping up the last crumbs on the floor. Krause is like, all right, no, you're done. You're done. You've done enough. Let's get the kids to start working harder. And I learned about respecting different cultures from seeing how hard they worked. And we all were motivated together because we had a goal. We had a common goal, right? We were all going on a trip, and every single week he would tell us our progress and who needed more help financially, right? Some people had, like, divorces in their family. And one of my friends, her dad just left the family just all of a sudden. And that was a veteran. A dude, a retired veteran, and he just had a midlife crisis. And so I asked Mr. Krause if my mom and I could help out, because I think it was my junior and senior year. And I'm like, well, I already fundraised because my mom works with me every weekend. I'd like to help my mom. I asked her, and she said she's willing to work more games. Do you think we can financially cover the trip for my friend and surprise her? He's like, we'll make it happen. So he moved some money around from other people and told other parents what I was doing, and everybody stepped up to make sure my friend could go to Disneyland that year. And I know that helped her mom keep going, because she desired for her family to stay intact as best she could. She had adopted her grandchild. This dude made poor decisions. But that happens sometimes, you know. It's people that step up and become the grandparents or the great-grandparents or the cousins or the aunts or uncles, right? It might not be blood-related, but I bring you the truth on this show. I care about you and your family. My family cares about your family. We pray for you, even if I've never met you before. I desire for you to win in life. We desire for you to have a hope that passes all understanding, and his name is Jesus Christ. We respect different faith systems because we live in America, and you have the freedom to choose whatever religion you so choose. But I tell you, 999 times out of 1,000, when I speak the name of Jesus, no matter how bad my circumstances are, he lifts me out of the dark depths. He healed me of suicidal ideations that I was struggling with for 18 years by myself because I was so afraid to speak the truth. And when I finally started sharing that I was struggling with my thoughts in college, the therapist at school that was the salary paid therapist for the university told me that I could be kicked out of college for what a man had done to me when he raped me. And PTSD is caused from rape. And suicidal ideations are natural parts of processing through PTSD, but they weren't trained to deal with it. So their way of dealing with it was to just kick me out, have me not be a liability. So I've had to learn how to build my own resiliency, how to build my own mind, my own strength through spiritual health, through getting plugged into service, through choosing to do music because that's what brings me joy. And I bring you nothing but the truth on this show. I got nothing left in me other than just to share the truth with you, because there's been so many people that have lied to me based on what they were allowed to do, based on societal norms and who pays their paychecks. We're 47 days away from me being the first ever in history global mental health ambassador and first ever in history chief spiritual officer of the United States of America, because the Lord appointed it to me in 2018 when I asked him, Lord, what is the purpose that you have for me? How can I serve you? And all I've done is lean into this calling. And there have been many people, many powerful, rich people that have tried to pull me in different directions and try to get me distracted from this calling. But the more that I lean in and ignore them and focus what he desires for me, he's opened up doorways I've never imagined possible. And I desire that for you. My family desires that for you as well. Maybe you won't be responsible like me of 1.56 billion people, right? Because this is a lifetime assignment that we're about to sign contracts with all the presidents of America, all the FLOTUS, right? First Ladies of America, Oprah Winfrey, Beyonce Knowles, Jay-Z, Tony Robbins, and Sage Robbins, his lovely wife, my pastors, Joel and Victoria Osteen, the U.S. Marine veteran who was a part of the original Move Happy program that encouraged me to keep sharing it. He was my patient, and he told me, Aaron, this is bigger than this hospital. You need to keep sharing this. And I was obedient. I did. He encouraged me, he validated me, and I respected his opinion because he's a Marine and they're hardcore. And he used to lead in the securities industry. He was responsible for anywhere from, I think he said 125 to 150, sometimes 200, depending on the quarter and their, you know, attrition rate, turnover rate, and all that, and probably budget and revenue and stuff. He was responsible for a lot of people. I had respect for this man, and he fought in actual wars. So I listened to him. My mom will be in the room. My middle brother, who is a huge asset in the music industry, and lots of evil people messed with him when I was in graduate school and a little bit after that, and they're going to be paying him back. Nobody messes with my family. Nobody messes with children of the Most High King and gets away with it unless the Lord allows it to happen. That's what I've learned in this journey. I'm extremely grateful. And I'm going to continue learning how to get better at my positions every year, every day, every minute by leaning in and plugging in to my spiritual practice every day and allowing him to lead my life in every single facet of my day. I've survived 14 death attempts that these people that abduct children in the world have tried to do since 2018, when the Lord assigned me this position in the world. They don't like me because I represent love and light, and I threaten their bank accounts because they are the fastest growing dark evil business, breaking every single law in the world and sickening all the grandmothers in the world. But they're not going to be able to do it much longer. So if you don't know if you have a personal relationship with the Lord and you desire to be able to have that with him and to connect with him and have an outstanding life no matter what, and have eternity with him after this life is over. Repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift of salvation. I can't earn it. I can't buy it. You give it freely to those who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I make mistakes, but I don't desire to. Please come into my heart and show me how to live more loving towards my neighbors and towards you every day. I pray this in your heavenly name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to welcome you to the family. Your next steps are to get plugged into a Bible-based church. Keep God first place. And Father, are there any asks that you desire for me to ask of them? Okay. So he desires for your help. I'm in the process of writing a song for the Maui victims, and we're in need right now. I made a post about it asking for Oprah Winfrey to help. We're desiring for actual Hawaiians to sing for Hawaiians from the school system and from the communities there. We want it to be an authentic song. What we need is a recording studio, professional musicians, producers, and we are giving 100% ownership royalties to the people of Maui to make sure directly that they get the money that they need, because some of them aren't getting medical treatment, medications, their rent, right? And $200 billion has been paid so far to Ukraine war, which I'm not going to get into politics. Hawaii is an American-owned state. We should be taking care of our people. So this is my way of helping. We'd love for you to help. You don't get to keep any of the money. So this would be a donation of service. And you could do a tax write-off for your hours if you have a business. Just notate your time or your money if you're going to donate to help us get transportation to do a professional recording. Right now, what I have is the research for it that I've done online. I don't have a melody yet. I don't have lyrics yet, but I have a desire to help the people of Maui. So if you'd like to be a part of it, please reach out to us, shoot us a DM, let us know that you can help provide a studio, provide professional producers. We want this to be top-notch, military grade. This is going to be shared and distributed around the world. And any monies that flow through of the sale of the song, right, the listens, the downloads, etc., we're going to donate 100% of it to the Maui people. So we're going to set up a bank account in the Maui people's area, if there's a bank. I want to make sure there's a bank there that's open. That way we're not keeping any of the money. We're going to be completely 100% transparent, and we only want people, desire people that aren't trying to make money off of this. Okay? So service focused. So if you're interested in that, if you're feeling a nudge on your heart to help with it, all faiths welcome, all melodies welcome. I imagine it'll be a Hawaiian style song. I'm going to pray on it some more. So your prayers and your money and your time are what we would like. And if not, that's all right. That's all right too. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of this journey. All right. Anything else, Father? He says, Kumikinuku. What is that, Father? I'm not sure what that is. He says, I'll tell you later. Okay, Kumikinuku. All right, I'll look that up later. All right, I love you guys so much. Don't forget to tell someone you love them today. And we'll see you next time.